This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. We are happy to have Susan Jordan with us today. She is the director of Susquehanna Valley Mediation. They've been around for more than a decade, and she got involved initially and then has worked her way up and is now heading this operation. We'll tell you what they do and how they help to mediate, how they help to solve problems in a time when there are a lot of divisions to solve. Susan, welcome to the program. We appreciate you being with us. Susan, if you would, start with the basics. Let us know, what is Susquehanna Valley Mediation?
We're a community mediation center. We've been around as a nonprofit mediation center for 10 years. So we were started on the campus of Susquehanna University as a pro se legal clinic. So a pro se is when people don't have the money to hire a lawyer, they can go to a legal clinic and get like legal information, and then at that point make a decision about whether they want to try mediation to address an issue. But we were moved off campus for a number of reasons, and so the group that started the legal clinic decided to start a nonprofit and become our own entity. And so that's how we got started. We got started primarily doing child custody mediation, so bringing people together to make those difficult, sometimes painful decisions about how to handle child custody when they're splitting up. And the courts were very happy to work with us because the judges, I think every judge that I've worked with has said that that's one of the hardest decisions to make for someone, is a decision about how they're going to raise their children or negotiate custody in such a personal situation. And so they felt like it was a really natural fit to have us offer custody mediation, that where people can write their own agreements and then we can submit them to the court and they become legally binding. So that's how we got started. And that's the child custody work has been really kind of started as our primary work. And then we've expanded into other things over time.
Is this model something that's done elsewhere, or is this kind of a unique setup?
Well, there aren't very many mediation centers in Pennsylvania. There's one in State College. There's one in Philadelphia. There's one in Lancaster. Some states have community mediation as part of their court system. And so like New York State, for example, they have community mediation centers across the state, but it's somewhat unique in Pennsylvania. And I would say that our center is really thriving. It is one of the really thriving mediation centers in Pennsylvania, but community mediation is something that is across the country.
How did you get involved? What's the background that you come into something like this with?
You know, I got started in this. I've been with the center now for 8 years, and I got started as a volunteer here. I was really interested in understanding. I was learning about nonviolence, and I was learning about the ways, kind of how violence often starts in very kind of subtle, small ways, in the way people talk to each other, the way people talk about each other. And I got really interested in that, thinking, what is that about? I got really curious about that. And then it was just a personal study of mine. And I was actually homeschooling my children at the time. And so I read a book about it with my children, about how to communicate in a way that honors the worth of the person that you're talking to and yourself. And so that's a very personal kind of, that's where I got started. And then a friend of mine told me about mediation training, and I thought, ooh, that seems like an extension of what this interest that I have. And so I took mediation training, and then I got really excited about it. And then a job opened up in our office, and so I applied for that. And then I've just gotten more training and more experience over the years to where I am now, where I'm leading the organization. And I've been able to do conflict work both in the country and out of the country. I did a conflict training in the Czech Republic a couple years ago. So I've been able to really take what I just started as a volunteer and really expand the work beyond. But my real love is doing the work in our community.
Are there others that are volunteers?
I say run on high quality volunteer power. We have 35 volunteer mediators. Our mediators are trained. I do our training, and we usually do our training once a year. And then we work really regularly with our volunteers as much as they're willing to practice. We do, and right now we're doing it on Zoom. We do practice role play scenarios where people really, put on their acting hats and practice their skills. So almost all of our mediations are done by community volunteers, and that's really a hallmark of community mediation.
And you mentioned that a lot are referred to you, but it's not just referrals from the courts, right? I mean, you're kind of reaching out in different areas than just custody.
Right. So we get self-referrals. Sometimes we get referrals from the police. Sometimes we have a new program working with our probation department doing mediations for people who are getting out of jail or prison and needing to address conflict with their family or their support system in order to help them be successful now that they're out of prison and reintegrating into life. And sometimes those conflicts are still there. And so we get referrals from our probation department. Sometimes we get even self-referrals of, from family members who are struggling with family conflict where they just need to talk something through and they need a supportive neutral third party to help them have the conversation. So we also do facilitate crisis meetings for child welfare. So if there's a risk that a child might be removed from their home, it used to be that the system kind of chugged into gear and made a lot of decisions for families. And now they're learning that separating children from the people who love them causes really long-term mental and physical health impacts. And so now they're saying, what if we gathered this family together and all as many support people as we can and help them figure out solutions to the safety crisis that they're in and really put more of the ownership and the decision-making in their hands with guidance from the child welfare professionals and others. So those referrals come from child welfare, but we also just get referrals from the community. If someone's having a conflict with a neighbor or a coworker, we don't turn anyone away because we're able to support these difficult conversations really in whatever form they present.
In the pandemic now that we're dealing with, how have your services changed? Divvy out the services, but also in how people are dealing. I mean, does that enter the picture as far as dealing with people who are having rough times because of the pandemic?
That's a great question. So the first part of your question is kind of how are we dealing with it, and we currently have moved all of our services to virtual services. Now we started kind of taking baby steps into doing things in person again. But one of the challenges of in-person right now is masks and social distancing. So it's in some ways easier to do a video conference where you can really see people's nonverbal reactions to one another. When you're facilitating conflict, people are giving you all kinds of communication. And if someone is wearing a mask and all you can see are their eyes, that's a very kind of difficult situation. And also people's voices get muffled So we're doing most of our work right now on Zoom or over the phone. That has some benefits that we weren't expecting. Sometimes people are more comfortable, especially if it's a very high conflict situation, kind of calling in from their comfy living room or wherever they are. There are some issues that make it more difficult, but it's also allowed people to be a little more flexible about when they can do a mediation. They don't have to travel to get there. So there have been some perks to it, but also some downsides. But that's what we've been doing since March, when everything got shut down. So we envision that we will probably, moving forward, always have hybrid options for people. So if they can't travel, sometimes we're doing a mediation with a family member who's in another state. And so it's been really helpful to be able to, you know, video conference them in or phone conference them in. When it comes to the kinds of the kind of what people are dealing with, I will say that our case manager has fielded a lot more calls. A lot of people are just really, really kind of on the razor's edge of well-being right now. You know, people are worried, they're scared, they're frustrated. Some people are angry, you know, whether it's over the restrictions that are in place, or whether it's, you know, fears for their health or very real economic fears and concerns. So I think our case managers have been doing a lot more just kind of listening to people and letting people have someone to talk to. I spoke to someone yesterday who was like, thank you so much for just letting me talk. I haven't had anyone to talk to. So we do have a service where people, if people need kind of a neutral third party to just talk to talk through what they're going through. It's not counseling. We're not advising people, but just if sometimes you just need a good listener. And so we have that available. One of the things we're finding with our family crisis meetings is that families are struggling a lot with adolescents. So we're finding more kind of people who are like calling child welfare saying, I can't handle my kids right now. I need help. As opposed to child welfare calling them and saying, you know, we got a report that things aren't going well at your house. It's more people saying, reaching out for help because, you know, kids have lost a lot of their natural supports that they've had with school and with extracurricular activities and those kinds of things. And so kids are getting into some trouble, you know, kids are doing things they're not supposed to be doing. And so parents are trying to get some help with that.
Okay.
So those are, and then our custody things are, you know, custody has been a little turned upside down with the pandemic and visits and safety and things like that.
As far as on your website, there's a thing of, you know, by the numbers, which kind of gives people an idea of how busy you guys are. But give me an idea of, you know, how much work you're doing and how successful you feel like it's been. I mean, do people usually, you know, refer back to you as, hey, this has been very valuable. I kind of wish we had some people that could come on and endorse it, but I want you to give me some sense of, you know, how effective it is.
Yeah. So in our custody work, when the court referrals we get are people have gone to court to sue one another for custody. So they've gotten to that point. And the court says, we will hear your case, but first you need to try to sit down and talk to each other without us. And we send about it anywhere between around 60% of the people that come to us come up with their own agreement and then they don't ever go to court. About another kind of 10 to 15% of people maybe make a different decision, like they agree to keep talking. And so that kind of puts off court either permanently or for a period of time. People also choose to just withdraw their case completely from court. So what we've been told by the judge is that if we didn't exist, they would have to hire another judge to handle all of the cases that currently don't ever even go to court because we exist. We've also increased our numbers by about 25%. It used to be that 100% of our cases were court referrals, and now we have a lot more cases that are coming to us as self-referrals. So they're never in the court system, and the majority of those people come up with agreements and are say they're satisfied with the agreements they came up with. And then we also survey our clients and say, did the mediation help you communicate better? Whether you came to an agreement or not, did the mediation help you understand the point of view of the other person better? Whether you came to an agreement or not, did it help them understand you? And so our numbers on those are very high. It's, you know, in the 80% range of people feel like they came, and they felt like those things, you know, that it helped them get clarity about their situation, figure out what their next steps might look like, get some recognition from the other party. So those are the numbers that to me are even more meaningful than how many people settle their dispute. But I understand that to our clients, both of those numbers are very important.
For folks who either would be interested in using these services, or perhaps someone listening would say, this is something I would be interested in, give me some contact information and who people need to contact or call or email or whatever the case may be.
Sure. So our phone number for our office is 570-374-1718. We also have a website, and our website is svmediation.org. And people can, people could even Google like Susquehanna Valley Mediation, or, you know, mediation in your town, and you can usually find us that way. We have information about our, we have a way to contact us via our website. We also have a Facebook page and an Instagram under SV Mediation. So you can find, people can find us that way as well. One of our services is that we do conflict training for organizations and individuals. And so we, sometimes people want to do, want to learn better conflict skills, but they don't necessarily want to be a mediator. And so we offer that training also, and we also offer facilitation. So recently I've been facilitating conversations around, it's like doing organizational, if an organization is having conflict, or if an organization wants to have a hard conversation about a topic. I had at one of our service clubs, a local Kiwanis club, said, we want to talk about the conflict between Black Lives Matter and All Lives Matter. And we want to have that be a facilitated conversation. And so they called us and we facilitated that conversation for them. So we've been, I've facilitated conflict for churches, churches that, you know, I think churches often have this feeling that you're not being a good Christian if you have conflict. And what I like to say is that conflict isn't inherently bad. Human beings, you know, struggle to live together and make decisions together and work together. And the problem with conflict is that it causes people to treat each other poorly. But it doesn't have to be that way. And so sometimes churches bury conflict rather than address it. And so we've been able to help some of those communities kind of have those conversations that they want to have with each other in a way that they feel good about. So I just want to add that those are a few of our other services.
What a good time to mention conflict in 2020, because there's
oh my goodness,
just a little bit of division and conflict out there.
Just a tiny bit.
Okay. Susan Jordan has been our guest on the program today. She's with Susquehanna Valley Mediation, and we appreciate her taking time to share this information with our listeners. Again, if you need some assistance, you can check out their website at svmediation.org, just svmediation.org. You'll find different ways to contact them there. You can also give them a call at 570-374-1718. Susan, thanks for being with us, and we want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.